It works. That's a Chickasha two-tone whistle. I grew up in Chickasha, and I learned how to do that. It's two tones. Anybody want to know how to do that? I'll teach you. Okay, please finish this for me. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese. All right. How about this one? It started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. What is that? All right, what about this one? I've been running down the road trying to loosen my load. I'm going to make a list on this piece of paper, I can't lose it, of what you would like to cover today. From time to time, we'll check and see if we're learning what we wanted to learn. So who will share? Start off with something that you would like to cover today, something you'd like to hear about, something you'd like to for us to talk about, something you'd like to get settled, okay?
Getting the word in your life every day.
Okay. Another thing of Parkinson's is called micrographia. You write small. You couldn't believe how small I can write.
You can get the word in your life on a daily basis through self-discipline and drudgery, but the title of your workshop is Thrilling Your Heart and Discovering, or if you will, Rediscovering the Joy. You know, and it's real easy for things to get routine and mundane and,
And sometimes we have to do those things. But if you had to do it for a whole lifetime, you know, if you came in and you kissed your wife on the back of her neck and she says, don't do that. But, you know, eventually she'll start liking it. So that's good. The thrill versus the drudgery. We'll talk about that hopefully. I'm going to get this up here and then this will be kind of make sure that we cover all these things. What else? Okay, practical approaches to scripture memory. How many of you all have not been memorizing scripture routinely up until today? Just lift your hand. Okay, one, two, three, four. This means it started once or twice and I can't find my cards. It's 13. How many of you have been doing it pretty steadily for, say, a year? Up to a year. It's like I have not stopped running. I haven't run for about 5 days, but I haven't stopped. I'm taking a hiatus, and I'll start again next. Maybe I'll start again. My life has been incredibly complicated lately. All right, how many have been going for say 2 years? How about 5 years? How many have been chunking along 5 years? Five? Okay, one person. How about 10? Oh, you're the same guy. This is Dennis. Dennis, how long have you been doing this?
12 years.
12 years. Okay, 12.
Some of us have been doing it for several decades, but sometimes you get to the point where, you know, first of all, it can turn into drudgery. Secondly, it takes so long to review, and you forget them faster than you can memorize them.
Okay.
Or, you know, when you're studying the Word, I was sure that the Holy Spirit sometimes will remind me of these verses that I have learned through the years. But if someone comes to me and say, I want you to quote 2 Chronicles 3:2, you know, if they get me started, I go, oh yeah, I know that one, and I'll go for it. You know, it's been a lifetime experience of memorizing scripture, but to the point, I have a brother that just memorizes complete books of the Bible. And I'm amazed that he can do this. And you can say to him, he's got this great recall. And I can't do that, you know. And actually, I came here with some of that wondering, is there something I could be doing to help me be a better recaller of the scripture? Or in my life, depending on the Holy Spirit, he lets me recall when I need it. Is my pride getting in the way, you know, in a sense?
Does anybody know John 14:26? Yeah, right. Go ahead and quote that. But
I'm like, I can see the basic idea of what the verse is, but where to work.
The counselor, the Holy Spirit.
Who the Father will send.
The truth is gone. You've gone in all truth. But should not speak of himself. But what's over here, what's over here from the Father should be.
That's a little different verse. I think that's John 16. We're looking at John 14:26. But the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the job of the Holy Spirit is to do just what you said, to bring to your remembrance. So
that has happened many times.
Yeah, and all of us have had that happen probably, even if we didn't have the verse memorized. But you're more likely to be able to... Recall means it was in there some other time.
But it's almost easier to do a section or a chapter than it is an individual verse, because it's a flow pattern. You get started and it just flows. But then you don't have your references for it after and that kind of stuff either.
Okay, let's say individual verses, individual. Verses, verses. This is verses, verses. Individual verses versus, say, chapters or chunks. That's kind of an advanced topic. Yes. Kim?
Yes.
How are you? Richardson, where?
Well, it's a suburb of Dallas.
Oh, so we live down there. Yeah, good. Okay. The best way to, I've been thinking about this. It's not in my notes someplace, so I'll tell you now. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, and I wondered, what is the best way to motivate people to do this? And I thought, making them feel bad for not doing it. That doesn't work. That'll work for 2 or 3 days. Because, like, I could ask you, How long have you been a believer? And if you'd started, and you said, well, 20 years. I used to do this, by the way. Anybody that's been a believer for about 20 years? So, Mike. So we could bring Mike up here and stand here and turn some headlights on him and say, how long have you been a Christian? In 20 years. Well, if you memorize two verses a week, you'd memorize 100 a year. Right? So 100 a year times 20 years, you know 2,000 verses. How you doing? And that just makes people feel awful. So I'm not going to do that. So just like strike that. In a court, they say disregard that former comments. So I'll just disregard that. But when I got started, and I'll tell you the story in a few minutes, I did it because... Well, I was doing it for a bad reason, I think. But then I got started with another man, and he was on fire for doing this. So I think the best way to get somebody motivated is to get them around somebody that's motivated. And it kind of rubs off, just when you quote verses or just seeing the thrill that you have in it. I have been re-energized. There's the man that used to live in Oklahoma City. I don't, Stan probably knows him. His name is Moose Keller. I got him started in scripture memory prior to his coming into faith in Christ. Because I didn't know too much, but I thought scripture memory was the key to everything. Because that's how I came to Christ. That's how Dawson Trotman came to Christ. So I'll do it with Moose. We started memorizing verses, and I gave him one verse. Well, he came up to me and he said, how did you learn to know the Bible like that? And he was a former professional football player and probably pushing about 300 pounds. And when he shakes hands with you, it's like, you know, you wonder if you're ever getting your fingers all back again. And he had been playing football all his life, I mean, all his educated life. And he probably had been in quite a few pileups. But it took him a lot longer to memorize the scripture than I expected. We took one verse, and it took us about a month to get it down. But he has continually worked at it and worked at it. And we visited him in his house this past year. And within 30 minutes, he's quoted 100 verses. I mean, he is just on fire. He says, do you know Isaiah 61:2? And I said, no. Oh, you got to have that one. You got to have that one. Listen here. Let me tell you what it is. And he's not saying, well, I have it. He's just so excited about it. And if I could afford it, an airline ticket for Moose to come over here and just quote verses to us and then say a couple of words in between, you would get motivated. Some of you might have been at the Key Men's Conference the Navigators put on in Wichita Falls. Well, the one I'm talking about is somebody got sick and couldn't do his session in the big room, and so they asked him somebody asked Jim White if he would take it, and he said sure. So what he did is he quoted the Book of Mark. I think it was the Book of Mark. It was one of the Gospels, and he just walked around the room. He would have walked around more if they didn't have such a short microphone. And he just sat there and quoted the whole book. And everybody was just awestruck. When it was over, I didn't say anything to anybody. I just walked out of there because I wanted to kind of hold that moment. And so I'm telling you, these are two circumstances where I have been motivated all over again. And of course, putting this together and going over my notes has caused me to really have a stronger desire for this. So let me pass out the handout. Now, I have another handout. If you'll just pick this up when you leave. This is two articles by Dwight Hill, who puts out the facts of the matter on Scripture Review. We're out.
You're out?
Yeah. So, yeah, if you can share one. And don't forget to pick one of these up on your way out. Okay, is there anything that didn't get listed up here? If you think of something, we can add it to it later. Let's memorize a verse to start with. And it's going to be Isaiah 46:8. Now, if you've got an NIV, you can look at it. But if you don't have an NIV, don't look at it, because it'll just confuse you. And we're going to all memorize it. How many have already memorized Isaiah 46:8? Good. So don't conflict your system by repeating something here. But it's kind of hard to imagine that nobody knows that. All right, the first thing you want to do is write it down. So if someone would just get yourself a piece of paper. I've got a 3x5 card here if you'd like to use it. I fully expected that we could all meet in the back seat of my car, because usually scripture memory, it's kind of like flossing your teeth. My dentist said, regarding flossing, he said, just floss the ones you want to keep. Mike, I think it'll make it if you'll pass that out to everybody. Okay, Isaiah 46:8. I'm going to tell you what it is, and you can write it down so we're all in the same book. Go ahead and write this down. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Isaiah 46:8. Okay, let's memorize this. The way I read it, there are four pieces. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Okay, four pieces. All right, let's say the first one. And let's say the reference, Isaiah 46:8. Then we'll say the first line, and we'll say the reference again. All right? Are you ready? Okay, Brad, why don't you stand up and do it for all of us? Just so we get the feeling.
Isaiah 46:8.
Right.
Remember this.
All right, would you say the reference one more time?
Isaiah 46:8.
Good, thank you. Be seated. Okay, what do you notice about what we just did? Taking it apart, okay. And what's the advantage of that?
You don't have to concentrate on so much at one time.
Yes. Yes, very good. Mike?
First thing we wrote it down.
Okay, yep.
I think that helps too.
You mean the very act of just writing it and seeing it as our hand? Yeah, it's kind of connecting one part of the brain with the other.
There's many of your senses that you can put into something like this and more you'll remember.
Yeah, good. What else did you notice?
Like a big steak, you can't eat it all at once, but one bite at a time works nicely.
What was the first? What was the first bite? What's your name, Caitlin? The first two words. That's it. Okay. Thank you. Good job. Were you a little nervous? Yeah, me too. Because I thought, what if she didn't know it? Then I failed. Okay, what else did you notice that we did?
Reference.
Pardon?
The reference.
Okay, and what about it?
Yeah.
And what's the advantage of that, or what's the reason for doing that?
You get that thing twice every time you get a verse.
Okay.
It's harder to remember.
And you have scripture between.
Okay, there's no truth in the reference. You know what I mean? There's no principle. There's no comfort. There's no warning. There's just an address. But if you don't know where the address is, and you're sharing with somebody, and you say, I want to share this verse with you, but it says something about remember the Bible and in your mind, and it's in here. Oh, well, I don't know. So when you get to using it in ministry, it's very important to know that reference. And it's important for us because you may be memorizing a verse and it gets off a little couple of words here and a couple of words there, and pretty soon it says something entirely different and you don't know where to go and check it. So that's the reason it's good to have like a 3x5 card. Now I had you write it down on the 3x5 card, but here's an example. This is the official Navigator memory card. This is a business card. And what you've got is a 3x5 card. Which one of these is better? Was there a 3x5 card left over? I need to hold one up. Yeah. Which one of these is better?
I would go with the business card.
Why?
Because it's big enough that you can write the verse on it and you can read it, but it's small enough to put it in the pocket.
Okay. Now check this out. This is a bad shirt. It's got a button right there. Went in my pocket. So just trying to say, this will also go in your pocket. But this will go in certain pockets that this wouldn't go into. So, okay. Any other ideas? What's the best?
Use up like on your refrigerator or on your whatever. So that they're in front of you in places that you are during the day.
Yeah, if you kept it in a notebook like this, which you could do. But if you tried to stick that up on the, it wouldn't probably stick. All right. So it's handy if you want to sort like a deck of cards. If you want to sort them some reason or another, you can do that. I put one verse on a card. So if I knew like John 14, 1, 2, and 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. So that just goes straight through for three verses. I've got some passages that go for 10 verses. But I don't try to put 10 verses on one. I write a separate individual card. For one reason, it makes it look like more verses. So if you came and looked at my verse book, you'd say, oh, look at all these verses. Some of them are, you know, like Jesus wept. It's just John 11, 35. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Yeah. Now, when I first got started, I was using these. And I thought this was the right way to do it. So there was a man I met, and he may be here today, who thought he would use something a little bigger like that. And I thought we were going to have a fight. I thought we were going to have to go to Fist City to settle that one. But I was so cranked up on doing it the way I did it, the specific detail, I almost missed the whole picture with him. So he's gone on, and he's a discipleship leader in his church now. And they do scripture memory. I kind of like the business card when I look at all of it. So kind of Andrew's reasoning. This happens to be my brother's business card. And this happens to be a verse that he wrote out while he was alive. And so it says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Proverbs 27:19 from the Living Bible. So this has a sentimental value to me. That was my brother's business card before he died. But that is right. Even the longest verse that you could think of will fit on the business card. even if you write fairly big. So, but anything you want is the way to do it. Okay, was there anything else you noticed about what we just did? All right, let's go ahead and learn a little bit more. We'll state the reference, the first line, remember this, and then the reference again. All right, ready, set, go. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this, Isaiah 46:8. Let's do it again. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this, Isaiah 46:8. Let's do it again. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this, Isaiah 46:8. Let's do it again. Isaiah 46:8. Remember this, Isaiah 46:8. Does anybody, as you're thinking about it, any thought about this verse come to mind? Just from our, as we, because as we're quoting it together, your mind is can be going like this, 10 times faster than your voice. So, anybody come up with a meditation or a thought on it? Yeah.
God says, remember this.
That's pretty clear, isn't it? Yeah, and besides, you need it because you're rebels. You're a rebel. We haven't got to that part yet. But in fact, we're all rebels deep down. Howard?
You wonder what it's talking about and what the context is and what all exactly you want them to remember.
Oh, that's very good. So you should let yourself be disciplined by desire for the truth to look beyond the individual verse and look at the whole chapter. Look at the whole 10 chapters or whatever, so that you know it. I've memorized verses and then be quoting it someplace, and somebody would ask me, "Who said that?" David, Saul, Paul, Jesus. I don't know, somebody. So learn those kind of things about it. All right, let's learn the next phrase, which is "fix it in mind." So let's say that over. Fix it in mind. Say it again. 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 Fix it in mind. Say the first phrase. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Again, the two phrases. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Fix it is to fasten it in such a way that it doesn't, like, remember, you could sort of get rid of it, but this is fastened in, glued down, sealed up, you know. Let's say the two passages again, two phrases. Remember this, fix it in mind. Remember this, fix it in mind. Again, remember this, fix it in mind. Again, remember this, fix it in mind. Again, remember this, fix it in mind. What are we doing? And how many times did we say it? And not how many? Five times. Is that all? Seemed like longer, did it?
Yeah.
The principle here is to keep on going over and over until it starts coming out your nose, or until you're sick of it. Overlearn it. That's the principle. If I could say, of all the principles that I've used successfully that someone else told me, this one is it. Overlearn it. If you overlearn something, and that would be remembering it like this. By the way, Isaiah 46:8, Jared, say it.
Remember this.
Fix it in mind. Fix it in mind. Just four little words. Yes.
What translation is that?
NIV. Okay, let's do another little thing that is helpful in scripture memory. We're going to say these two phrases, and we'll say Isaiah 46:8 in between every word. Okay, Isaiah 46:8. Remember Isaiah 46:8. This Isaiah 46:8. Fix Isaiah 46:8. It Isaiah 46:8. In Isaiah 46:8. Mine Isaiah 46:8. Now, what does that do for us, Jonathan?
It's reinforcing Isaiah 46:8. At the same time, you're kind of, on your break, you're still going back over other parts of it.
Yeah, that's great. So Isaiah 46:8 is now stuck to remember. It is also stuck to this. It is stuck to fix. It is stuck to it. It is stuck to in, and it is stuck to mind. So you, somehow your mind does this little automatic connection. So this is part of learning something and overlearning it until you're sick of it. Don't go on to the second verse until you've got the first one. I saw a person, he says, I said, what are you memorizing this week? And he had four cards. And I said, have you got them all memorized? And he said, no, I'm just working on all four of them together. I said, try this. Because he was not having success. Just stay on one verse until you really got it memorized. Then go to the next one until you really... Now, what you'll find out is you memorize the verse. Then you come back tomorrow, and guess what? It's not there. You put it right here someplace, and it's not there. So the first time you have to... First time you learn it, it takes this much effort to be able to say it. Then the next time you relearn it, it takes a little less effort. The next time you relearn it, which probably would be on the next day, you have to less effort. And keep going until the effort is paying off and you're learning the verse, then you know it for good. Okay, let's say it just the words. Remember this, fix it in mind. Again, remember this, fix it in mind. All right, let's take it to the next phrase. Take it to heart. So we're going to fix it in our mind and then take it. So I feature, you know, taking something down. I know your heart's not exactly in here, but it is the center of your being. Take it there. Don't have it just out here in your mind. Take it in your heart as well. And that's where the Holy Spirit resides, influencing your mind, no question. And so that's the three passages. Let's say those together. We'll start with Isaiah 46:8, then we'll say the three passages, three phrases, and then we'll do Isaiah 46:8 again. All right, ready? Isaiah 46:8. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart. Isaiah 46:8. And then we know our condition before God is we're rebels. So let's say all four pieces of it. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Let's say it three more times, all of it. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember this, fix it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Isaiah, right. We didn't say it every time, but we should. Okay, any questions or comments? Something you've heard, something you've tried, something that works well? Something that didn't work?
I sometimes write the verses I'm trying to memorize on a mirror with the dry erase marker.
So every time you look at yourself, you can... I used to write it with a grease pencil on my watch face. And every time I would look at my watch, that was a signal I should say the verse through. So if I'm sitting here in a meeting with you and, Isaiah 46:8. No, I'd probably wait till we got back out in the hallway or something. But those are little nifty ideas. Anything else like that that you found helpful? Let me tell you my story. And then we'll start with the motivation for memory. All the young boys in Baptist Church in Chickasha, Oklahoma, memorized a few verses during vacation Bible school. Mostly the verses were memorized just long enough to win one of the prizes. Some of these verses stuck to me throughout the years, like maybe John 3:16. But the Bible took on less significance with each new year. At age 28, after realizing that all my achievements in the world were not producing any fulfillment or sense of purpose in my life, I met a man who unmistakably had found the fulfillment and purpose that I was desperately seeking. I visualized my life like, have you ever been by a house that's burned and you can just kind of see right straight through to the backyard? Everything's burned down in there. That's the way I felt my life was. It burned out, and when you could look, you could just look right straight through me because there was nothing there, nothing left of any value. So I met this man. When I visited his Sunday school class that day, he called on one of the members to quote a Bible verse to help make a point. Here was a grown man quoting a Bible verse all the way through, word for word, and it wasn't John 3:16. Later, the teacher himself quoted a few verses through the lesson to help explain the meaning. I noticed how helpful and practical those verses were. Something about quoting those verses really grabbed me. I wanted to be able to do that. It was the competitive nature in my life. After I had a genuine spiritual awakening, as that teacher explained to me the difference in knowing facts about God and in really knowing Jesus Christ personally, as time went by, I noticed again and again his knowledge and grasp of the Word. I also learned that he had some Bible verses printed on little cards, the ones like I showed you, the official card. By the way, this was picked because it would fit a Navy uniform, this little pocket right up here. That's why this size was used. Most of you aren't in the Navy, so you don't need to think about that. I also learned that he had some Bible verses printed on little cards which he carried around in his pocket. In due time, I approached him about getting me some of those little cards so I too could memorize the same verses. It didn't dawn on me at the time that I could select verses myself and memorize them on my own. It seemed to me that if you were to know Bible verses, you must go through some sort of official program or course. It seemed official and definite, not haphazard or homegrown. So I asked him for the cards, and his reply stunned me. He says, "Have you prayed about it? That is, whether you should memorize or not?" Well, I didn't think a person needed to pray about memorizing the Bible, but I agreed. I remember how silly I felt praying about it. By the time the daily quiet time was established in joyful pattern, and I struggled through, "Lord, do you want me to memorize Scripture or not?" for 1 week, then I reported back to my friend. So he says, "Well, what did God say?" I said, "Nothing, but I still want some of those little cards." He said, "Okay, I'll get you some cards." A few days later, he produced a little booklet with four verses inside on promises of God. I memorized them all on the first day. The very next day, I saw him at church and proudly quoted them to him. There were about 146 words in those four verses. And I had gotten one word wrong, out of place. I just had the two words switched like that. So after I quoted all those verses to him, and I was really feeling proud about, pleased with myself, he said, "Well, that's close." I said, "What do you mean close?" Well, he said, "You didn't get it right, but it's close." And I said, "Well, it's close enough." And I got a little, He said, "Well, you need to make a decision whether you're going to memorize what is in the Bible, or just take some of the Bible and mix it with your thoughts and use that as God's authoritative word. But you might find sometime later that you've changed the Bible verse just by not quoting it properly, just enough to give the whole wrong message out." So that was the day I decided that if it was within my power, I would memorize verses word for word. So this morning, Norma and I were driving up here from Dallas, and I said, "Can we review some scriptures together?" So, I didn't bring my scripture verses in there. I'm sorry. Maybe while you're doing something a little bit, I'll go get it for you. But I've got all my verses in a what's called a clear file. That's the plastic sheets that are all fastened on the side. And we were doing the book of John. And I frankly was having a lot of trouble. Some of them I was doing about every I was getting about every other word. And some of them came out, zhoom. So if I just listened to those, did them by myself, I glance a little bit. So it's really good when you review to review with somebody. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, on your handout, motivation for memory. Why memorize? Well, because God said so. God told us that we should do that. In John 2:5, this is the miracle where Mary says, "Do what Jesus told you to do." So that's to do what he tells you to do. And then John 17:17 says, "Make them pure and holy through teaching them your words of truth." That was Jesus' great high priestly prayer. The words of truth. And then Colossians 3:16. Does anybody know that verse? Okay, I couldn't hear you, but I know they couldn't hear you over there either. So try to do it again.
So that the word of Christ dwelling you richly with all wisdom.
Is that all of it? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, great. It took a couple of us, but we got it in there. Thank you, Stan, for volunteering that. Okay, modern myths of memory and meditation. The first one is that you don't have enough strength to do it. I just can't do this. If Moose Keller had said, I just can't do this, he wouldn't be the man with hundreds, thousands of verses memorized today. He took the challenge and faced it. Like Philippians 4:13. Probably somebody knows that, but you may not know that you know it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, good. How many of you had that verse memorized? How many of you knew that had it memorized but did not know the reference? Oh, good. Oh, a couple. All right. So that's one of the myths. And I've got those other there for you. Then the next one would be no time. I just don't have time to do this. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek. No. That sounds good, but it's not it. Yeah. Seek ye first the... Now, what makes it easy to memorize that is it's a song. I'm not a singer, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I heard that you could make songs out of it, so I thought, that'll help me with my memory. So I made up one for Isaiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show the greatest thing that thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, show the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, not a great song, not a great singer, but it helps me to remember it somehow. 1 Corinthians 3. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through who you came to believe, just as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but I made it grow. It helps me. I know people who do that with every verse they memorize, just make a little song out of it. She knows hundreds of verses just like that. And some of them are actual songs. The scripture and song movement kind of came in on us about 20 years ago, and now it's kind of subsided. Okay, the third thing is there's no real value in this. 2 Timothy 3:17 said the scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. Now, you've probably heard that in a different translation. That was the J.B. Phillips translation. Somebody brings up the question, well, what translation should I memorize? I took the lead of the man that was helping me. He had verses all over, 10 different translations, or 20 different translations. He had some in translations you've never heard of. But he would keep, as he said, he kept looking in different translations until he found one that said what he wanted it to say. That's not really actually true. But he just had a Living Bible and J.B. Phillips and 20th Century New Testament and just all Berkeley and Amplified and that's all sorts of things. If I had it to do, so I've got verses all over the Bible. But if I had to do over again, I think I would just stick to one translation. How many of you memorize in the NIV? How many memorize in the King James Version? How many memorize in the New King James Version? Okay. The New King James Version is my favorite translation these days. ESV. That's my second favorite translation. That's my modern one. The King James the New King James provides a nice bridge back over to the King James, which I grew up with. Okay, our part. Discipline yourselves. 1 Timothy 4:7. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7. Then encourage one another, especially learn how to goad one another, how to help us to move toward that. So I should expect encouragement from someone else. One of the most encouraging ways that this has happened is to two things. One is to sit and review with someone else who takes time out of their life to help me learn these Bible verses I need to know. And the other is to be in a small group Bible study where you're sharing a verse that you're memorizing. That was a great encouragement for me because I just hear people who had spent maybe hours and hours thinking about this verse as they memorized it. And it just made it seem more rich. So I was highly motivated by being in a Bible study where part of our activity is to quote the verse you memorized this week. How many are in a Bible study right now, a Bible study, a small group of some sort, where one of the options is to quote a Bible verse you memorized during the week? 1, 2, 3. 3 out of 23. So that's now, if I'd given this workshop 15 years ago, almost everybody would say they were doing that. So I wonder if this is kind of dying off, or if in our desire to, you know, let no one go behind or something, to kind of dumb down the whole system until everybody is accepted. I mean, we do accept everybody, but sometimes we just try to make it a little too easy. Because this discipline yourself, that's something you have to do yourself. So it's, but there's enough of the value coming in that even though there's a drudgery factor, it becomes very small. Let me read to you a little bit of an article by Lauren Sanney. He used to send this thing out called the Equipper. It was a part. So really some helpful things here, and I'll skip over some of it. Dear fellow laborer, for me, scripture memory has paid greater dividends for the time spent than has any other form of scripture intake. Let me read that again. Now, this is Lauren Sanney. He knows these things. He's dead now. For me, scripture memory has paid greater dividends for the time spent. So the time spent, the dividends flow back, than has any other form of scripture intake. It has helped me trust God, obey His word, avoid sin, defeat the devil, renovate my mind, help others, and prosper spiritually. And then he has a little paragraph on each one of those items. I'll just go to the last one, the proper spiritually, and read it to you. Psalm 1 begins, "Blessed is the man." Spurgeon says, that means a particular man, one in a thousand. Only one in a thousand forsakes sin and meditates in God's word day and night, he says. But look what kind of people they turn out to be. Alive, fruitful, drought resistant, and prosperous. As you drive through New Mexico, you can see in the distance long, thin ribbons of green. Bushes and trees planted by a river. That's what people are like who meditate on the word of God. They are trees planted by the river of living water. You are refreshed by spending time with them. But you can't meditate on God's word until you have it stored in your memory. As with a computer, you can only call up what has previously been recorded. So if you want to prosper spiritually, you need to memorize and meditate on some well-selected verses from the Bible. And then he talks about some of the different options we have for memorizing. Well, how to memorize, we've talked about that. We did not talk about the Navigator's topical memory system. How many of you have one of those that you bought and it's somewhere around? Okay. And most of you have heard about that. I should have looked. Is there a book table today, Stan, do you know? There was last year. But if you don't have one, grab that thing and pay about $8 or $9 for it and open it up. It's got a little guidebook in there that with principles to follow and while you're memorizing. Like write the verse out, you know, some of the same things we've talked about here today, but it's very sequential, and you can, you know, open back up and look at it. I follow those, and when I help somebody to start memorizing, I always go with the topical memory system. I say, memorize these 60 verses. This is the hit parade of the best verses for a disciple of Christ. And there's lots of other, God doesn't have favorites. They're all His favorite. But these are really helpful. And then the little guidebook instructions and quizzes, and it's kind of fun to do that. Flip your handout over, memorizing. I've got number one, but I've got a number zero here also. Number zero is to pray for ability, motives, and enlightenment. Pray for ability, motives, and enlightenment. My motive for memorizing scripture was to make the team, to be recognized. That's not a real good motive. And pray for ability, the ability to get it and memorize and use God's help for it. Psalm 119:73, a verse I haven't memorized, but I should. It says, "Your hands have made and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands." So that's a prayer, acknowledging that God has made me and asking for understanding to learn my to learn His commands. Word for word, write it out. We've done this. Study the context. Howard mentioned this to us, to know who, where, when, why, and to whom. And then memorize one phrase at a time with the reference for and after, before and after. Learn the verse with the reference. And then some principles of scripture memory, and these will be explained to you in more detail in that book, course, the topical memory system. Repetition. Division is breaking it down into its various pieces. Visualization. Concentration. Recitation. And application. Most of those are pretty self-explanatory. Then have someone check you for word-perfect recitation. And then get each verse overlearned before proceeding. And I've got a number nine for you. Use traffic lights and other delays, like you're on hold on the phone. Just use that to learn it. I used to do all my scripture memory while I was driving in the car. So I had these cards, and I would put my hands up on the steering wheel and kind of do the cards and say them. I've only had two wrecks doing that. And no one was killed in either one, so that was very good. I want to show you something on delay. I hope this works. Let me turn this around. Would somebody like to turn this light off here? This is about helping one another with review. Okay, this is a Barney Fife, and he says he heard about Opie's, how well he was doing in school. Oh, okay, yeah. Until it gets to look right. There's a place for everybody, but you're all about the same height. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to hear it. So they heard Opie was doing good in his classes, and they wanted to. So Barney said, "So I've dusted off my textbook, and here it is, and here's my U.S. history textbook." And they laid it down, and they got started talking about it. Okay. Let me. This would be nice to have a big monitor, huh?
My old history book. The one I used way back in the eighth grade.
I'll be dog.
With all this talk with Opie about how good he's doing in school and all, I got to thinking about my own school and I dug that up. My old history book.
Bernard P. Fife. This book belongs to Bernard P. Fife. If lost or stolen, please return to Bernard P. Fife. Signed, Bernard P. Fife. Your book?
Yeah. Look at the next page.
The History of the United States of America by Bernard P. Fife.
Well, remember how we used to paste our own names over the author?
Oh, yeah. Well, you had this a long time.
And you want to know something? There's things right there in that book that I learned that I still remember to this day.
Oh, come on.
To this day. It's amazing how that stuff stays with you. Once you learn something, it never leaves you. It stays locked up tight right in your
own.
Does it? Sure. Here, let me show you. Constitution of the United States. Now, we had to memorize
has the preamble of that. I still remember it.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, I said it. Hold the book on it.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Constitution of the United States.
Give me the first word. Okay, wait.
Let me show you just one thing about review. One less wire than I need. I'm sorry. What's on here is a demonstration of review through technology. So what I did is I recorded the reference, then the first word, then I left a space, and then I gave the space of time enough for me to quote the verse, and then I read it onto the tape. So if you were standing there, you'd hear the tape going, John 14:1. I can't even think of how John 14:1 goes. You believe. So I would say, on there it would say you, and then a space. Well, I say, you believe in God, believe also in me. And then you hear me say that, and then another blank time on the tape. So I put this in, and it just follows me along. Now, I have three different ways of doing it. One is where you just put the reference, the verse, the reference again, and then keep going right on without a chance for me to quote. In that case, I have to quote right along with you. The second is where I say the first word or two words or down to the first meaningful word, for and but, you know, not included. So I say John 14:6, but Jesus, and then I give time for me to quote it. That's another way to do it. And the hardest way is I just give the reference and then with a time to that elapses to quote the verse and then go on to the next verse. Any question about that? I'm sorry, I guess I left that other plug in the car. And even you could get, I've got my verses, some of them established on an iPod. So you can do all sorts of things with it. Just made an audio file of it. And there's a little gadget that goes with the iPod that just plugs in, and it's like a microphone. And you can record. I can show you that to you if you're an iPod person after we finish here. How to keep going on the back of your handout. The secret is review and meditation. What's the secret? Now, review, we kind of understand that's the technical part. But what's this meditation? What's the value of that for to keep from becoming behind and discouraged?
How does it apply to my life, to others?
Yeah.
And so it makes more meaning to.
Yeah. Down below there, you've got a definition of meditation. It's quite a long one. The unhurried mulling over of a verse, word by word, thought by thought, like treasure, investigating each word and phrase in relation to my life, allowing and expecting the Holy Spirit to actually illumine me to understand and appreciate what is there with a willing heart, resulting in life-changing application. So when you're behind and discouraged, press on. Don't get under the rock of behavior, of pleasing someone else. Just press on and jump ahead if you need to. Don't compare yourselves with others. If you know somebody like your brother, whose brother could quote, Mike's brother could quote whole books. I'm not jealous of Jim White for doing that. And maybe someday I would attempt that. But I don't compare myself. Set your heart to be a finisher. And I've got some verses here that you can look up to help with that. That's 2 Corinthians 8, 10 and 11 and Ecclesiastes 7, 10. Then use the word in life and ministry. People are not interested in my opinion, but in what God says. And if you have over anybody have over 500 verses and you're having difficulty? Okay, we don't have to do that. We got one. Let me just tell you very quickly what to do if you got too many verses. This could occur at 400, 300, 200, 100. But I heard it when I had about 800 or 1,000. And somebody came through town and said, if you've got over 500 verses, have lunch with me. So I go there and have lunch, you know. And he said, how well do you know them? I said, well, I'm kind of struggling. He said, well, just go home and take out all the verses you don't know. And if you can get your wife to help you or one of your kids, and you just take your pack and you quote the verse. If you can't quote it, put it over here in the dud version, the dud stack. If you can quote it, put it over here in I know it stack. I did that, and instantly, scripture memory had this deep thrill because I was no longer struggling with trying to get it. I was only reviewing those verses that I had memorized. Then I took these duds, and I would, they're not duds to God, but they were duds to me. So I would, and by the way, if you've memorized a verse, you don't have to keep it memorized all your life. Maybe things have changed, and if you were looking for a husband, you've got about 100 verses on finding a husband. But after you get married, you don't need it anymore. So let those verses go. So I did that, and that was probably the most energizing thing I've done in scripture memory. I've done it for a lot of people. If you'd like to do it with me sometime, mail me your cards or a copy of your cards, and we'll do it over the phone, because I'll be strict with it. Then you might go from 500 down to 100 cards, but they're verses you know. And you can memorize, you can review about 10 verses a minute if you know them. If you don't know them, it could take an hour to do those 10 verses, or 15 or 20 minutes. If you were willing to spend, let's say you could do 10 verses a minute. That's if you're clicking along to do that. If you could spend 10 minutes a day, that how many verses can you say then? 100. So if you did it, if you did that every day for the month, that's 3,000. So if you had just 10 minutes a day, you could keep 3,000 memorized. Most people feel like if you review your verses once a month, if you know them and you review them about once a month, you keep them sharp. And I found that to be the case for me. Usually once a month does it. How to get others started? Just one point on that. Don't make it a condition of discipling. Beverly Huff said to Lauren, her father, nor Sani. Where in the Bible does it say you should memorize? He said, well, dear, it doesn't really say it. It gives principles, and that's a way to fulfill knowing God's word better. But it's doing that, putting it on cards, is not in the Bible. She said, I knew that. I just wondered if you'd be honest with me. So let's also don't make a condition of discipleship and just set the example and wait for him to ask. Any questions or comments? Yes, Dennis.
Number 5 under B, pardon the verse with the blank, I missed that one.
Reference. Stan.
It's one thing to say the verse, it's another thing to have enough time to think it through. Anyway, for you, that's one of the things as you're reviewing verses and you come across one and you just kind of dings and you think it through and of course all the things associated with it. Not getting more review done. You know,
yeah.
Get a stopping point. And then when it comes to going through a volume of verses, then it's a roadblock. And it just takes more time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, that's the point for reviewing so you can meditate on it. But as far as getting through a volume of verses, then it's a roadblock. Do you not think about them and just go through and say them? Because you're going to get through your...
I mix it up. So if I could do all... I have about 30 verses a day to review. Some days more, some days less, because I've got it divided in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Psalms A and Psalms B, and so I've got it divided down. And so I allow about twice as much time for review as it takes, knowing that a verse is going to catch my attention and I'm going to learn some things through the Holy Spirit that I never knew before. Is that a signal that it's time to go? Okay. One quick question.
I recognize there's really good memorized verses and everything, and God commands it and everything. I was just wondering, how do you kind of go from the academic side of just memorizing a verse to the more practical side of applying it to your everyday life? You know, like, it's easy to memorize a verse on humility, but it's not quite as easy to live the life of a humble servant. Kind of thing, you know, or memorizing a verse about trusting God, but am I really trusting God? Or just whatever, you know, I mean, it's like sometimes, I mean, I've found it's a lot easier to just do the academic process, but I mean, how do you go from just the academic thing of memorizing this verse to the more practical side of, you know, permeating your life and being like, kind of just like living it out and not just memorizing it or whatever.
You know, deal with the reality. I have probably about 15 verses on being a people pleaser. As far as I can tell, I'm still a people pleaser. But you should see what my life would be like if I didn't have those 12 or 15 verses to keep me from just, you know, going over the cliff. Same with trust God. My mother taught me to worry. I'm a professional worrier. I can worry about stuff, and if I don't have anything to worry about, I'm worried about that. I've got verses all over the Bible on don't worry, you know, trust God. But so I realize that in those deep-rooted issues, it could be a lifelong, and I just barely see the end of the tunnel at the time when my life is over. So just keep working on it. Any other thoughts or questions? Good. I'll be here, so if you've got a specific question, detail, grab hold of him and we can talk about it. Mike, you're right in the center. Would you pray for us and thank God for our time?
Lord, we thank you for Jim and the presentation he has given us. But Lord, we just need to take it to heart and pray that you will give us the willingness to look into your word and to memorize these scriptures so we can better represent you. The scripture is our authority, and that's what allows our life when we choose the wrong paths or things that it will allow us to decide which way we need to go. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which will help us through this process. And, Lord, may we all finish well in our lives as we continue to look to you and have faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's say together, Isaiah 46:8. Remember this.
Take it to heart, you rebels.
Isaiah 46:8. Okay, good job.